Hello and welcome to the Wired Biohealth Podcast. My name is Jacqueline Hall and I am joined by your show's host, Dr. Evelyn Higgins.
Hey, Jackie.
Great to be with you, Doc.
Absolutely. Likewise.
What's going on in your world?
Ah, good. Everything's good. I can't complain. Yeah. Yeah.
Any big trips coming up?
Yes, actually. Starting out in Singapore and then ending in Africa, South Africa, going through Thailand, Malaysia, Sri Lanka. Going to be really fun.
Is this work, pleasure, both?
Work, pleasure. I always try to combine everything. Have fun. It's my life. Yeah, it'll be on the Queen Mary too.
Oh, are you one of the speakers again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of topics are you going to cover?
Kind of health and wellness, brain health, the stuff that we love to talk about. How to kind of biohack and wind up younger than you are. All these things are possible with technology. Love talking about the blue zones.
Yep.
Places in the world where there's more centenarians than any other area, meaning people live to be 100 or more. So all those topics. And it's really meet really lovely, interesting people who are educated and want to learn more and are open and receptive to getting the most out of life. So that's kind of like the sweet spot of a person, you know, like if you want more out of life, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Because it's supposed to be a gift.
We only
get one
shot.
At the end of the day, this thing is supposed to be a gift and we get in our own way.
It's so true. And it'll be really cool that you're visiting Singapore because that's one of the new blue zones.
Yeah, they only named Singapore like 2 months ago as the sixth blue zone of the world.
Wow. What are kind of the hallmarks of the blue zones?
Diet. Often a Mediterranean diet, mostly plant-based, exercise, community involvement, really big deal. Purpose is always, always, always hallmark.
Yeah.
And they never lose their purpose in the community. They're revered. Their wisdom is actually appreciated instead of sent to a new place to live.
Yeah.
So these commonalities are throughout all of them. They each have their little nuances, but it's definitely those pieces, the diet, the exercise, the community, the, purpose.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the other blue zones are like a little bit more remote, a little bit more homogenous in terms of who lives there.
Right.
Singapore is a country, and B, it's like Western.
Changes it up.
Big time.
Yep.
And so I'm curious how they have just become a blue zone, but have really integrated these worlds and still put out some of the oldest and most valuable.
So that's kind of this new, like, whoa, it can happen in an urban area. So I'm really excited to go to Singapore and get a pulse because there's nothing like actually being there and feeling it. You know, it's like talking to a person in person versus on the phone. You know, you're going to get more. You're going to see, like, what's the feeling you get, the whys, the hows. But, yeah, very exciting. And exciting also that we're adding another one instead of taking one away.
Good point. So I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine addiction is a little bit lower in the blue zones.
Well, to live to those ages, yeah. And I'm just thinking about the principles that they revere, like community and wisdom and the involvement of older people and purpose. All of those things, even if someone had an addiction, would have them working towards the getting out of that addiction.
That's a really good point. Oftentimes in the addiction recovery community, we hear addiction is the opposite of connection.
Right.
And so if you are, community is intrinsically part of your life from the second you're born until hundreds of years into your death, you are always somehow a part of something bigger than you.
Right.
And how important that is in feeling like there's a reason why I wake up every day. I have a role to fill and I'm fulfilled by that role.
Right.
So often addiction, be it a substance use disorder or a process addiction, is trying to fill a void or to self-medicate.
Right.
And so when we think about substance use disorders, these are the things that we suffer from most commonly in the Western world. In the United States, right? So we're talking about nicotine, which that's kind of one that we blow by. When we
Doesn't count.
Well, we were in Abu Dhabi. Right. Dr. Higgins was one of the speakers at at the International Society of Substance Use Professionals annual conference, took place in the UAE, May of 22, and we were speaking with some of the other speakers about addiction in their country.
That was interesting.
And they said, well, first is nicotine. And I'm like, we don't even count that one.
We don't even count that one.
And then...
because we make money at it.
We make money at it, right? It's sexy. It's a part of our life. Now vaping is a new thing.
Right.
Then we add in alcohol. We recognize alcohol use disorder, alcoholism, and then marijuana, which is kind of another one that we've blown by.
We don't count anymore because all of a sudden it became legal yesterday.
Right. So all of these substance use disorders, but the ones that are less frequently talked about and as a result have fewer resources are process addictions or behavioral addictions. So these are the things that you do. So we think about things like gambling, we think sex, even eating disorders, work, internet. Now there's something called nomophobia. I was unfamiliar with this one, and maybe, Doc, you knew about it.
I just started a rap song.
So nomophobia is no mobile phone phobia.
Right, and that is real.
This is real. I mean, I like to keep the phone by my side when we're doing podcasts so I can refer to notes, keep track of time, but it's not to check apps, check email, Google something, check the weather because I don't want to listen to you anymore. It has a purpose.
Right.
But now we think we have the entire world at arm's length.
At our fingertips.
At our fingertips. And now we've got a generation of kids and young adults who have been, this has been a part of their life.
Right.
For you, most of your life.
On the wall.
On the wall.
Get the phone on the wall.
You know, the joke for me, I had my first cell phone in sixth grade. Now, I mean, we're talking elementary school kids who aren't just having it because, hey, mom, I just got off the bus. You're late at the bus stop. It's, I have to talk to my friend. Let me order an Uber. I'm not kidding. Maybe some of you guys aren't floored by that one. I'm shocked. But they're now very much experiencing feelings of not just comfort, but anxiety.
Right.
If they don't have access to their phone.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like, what does a silent retreat do? Mm. It unplugs us from everything. And if you said to someone, you know, a really good thing for you would be to go do a silent retreat, it would be like, I'd rather do public speaking or pay my taxes. You know, that you want me to be silent. Like, yes, unplug. What do I talk about with people? I'm like, every day there should be a segment of time and what I call spending it in the classroom of silence, being silent, reflecting. And people are afraid to do that. And the more anxious they are, the more depressed they are and trying to make believe they're not, they're running. They're running. They're running. So that's real. And I can say from my own personal experience, you know that I did that trip, the Camino, going from southern France through the Pyrenees Mountains, from the east to the west to Spain. It was a 32-day hike. I didn't have my phone. It was not easy.
Yeah.
It was a good 10, 12 days into it before I was just like, you know what? Reality is I don't have my phone. I don't have a guidebook either.
Right.
But I don't have my phone. And I'm just going to do this. And I'm going to trust that everything's going to be okay.
So for you, what was the not phone? Was it if there was an emergency, checking in with
an
people?
Emergency, okay. An emergency and being able to stay in contact. My plan was to get a SIM card when I got there, and that didn't happen. You know, it's not like in the U.S. where the store is open, just go in. You know, it's like, when is the store open?
Right.
So it didn't happen.
Right.
And it was really, it was for checking in. I was responsible for things. And it was like, oh my goodness, I don't have this. But what it did for the good part of it. So someone can do that as their own experiment. You don't have to go on the Camino, spend 32 days, don't have a guidebook, don't have a phone, don't do that. But I suggest you do. But do your own experiment and do it on your own, because it's a really good thing to unplug, because this starts to own people. What happens when you get a text and you hear that ding? You have a dopamine spike, right? Someone wants me. Someone needs me. It's the same as getting high.
Yeah.
It's a dopamine spike. Why people do it. why do people not just get high once, but then get high the next day and the next day and the next day? If you have a gambling problem, why do you go to Vegas once, but then you wanted to go the next day, the next day, the next day? You can't, oh, you come back home and all you're thinking about is getting back to Vegas right. because of that dopamine spike. This thing is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I think I even had a social media post 2 days ago about live your life, get out, yeah. talk to people. Go exercise, look at the world around you, put down your phone.
Yeah. And the dopamine is a very real physiological thing. That's why you see people driving in their car on their phone and they're picking it up. They know right. they shouldn't. They pick it up. They know they
should. Right.
This is a real
right.
addiction.
Right.
And it's not a pass for behavior, just like drinking and treating others abusively or even not abusively, abusing your own body. It's no excuse, but there is a reason why we do the things we know are bad for us.
Yeah.
And so if you have started changing your physiology through using the phone so early, we're going to see that manifestation continue.
I was just going to say, there's already a lot of research, There's already some research coming out talking about the changes in someone's physiology. We haven't even touched scratched the surface of what we're going to see.
No, because we just talked about the ding of hearing a notification. What was that ding? Was that a porn site you were looking at? Was that a gambling site you're participating in? Was that maybe you have an ex stalking you on social media? Mm-hmm. And all of that, these feelings that come from hearing a sound.
Right, right. This is what makes me feel complete.
Right.
You know, it's like what someone who's addicted to nicotine would say, the hardest addiction to get rid of, even more difficult than heroin. What does that cigarette do for you? It's my best friend. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a stressful situation, I want to go out and have a cigarette. If I'm in a social situation, I want to have a cigarette. This is becoming that same thing.
Right.
And we need it. There's good parts to it.
Exactly.
Right.
There's also bad. That makes me think you were one of the keynotes at the Liz Claiborne Domestic Violence Conference. This yeah. was what year?
Oh, gosh. It was a while back. Some of the greatest, I did that for a couple of years. Some of the greatest experiences I had was just that, talking to people about domestic violence. And so that was, say, 15 years ago. It wasn't as prevalent with phone use. It was like maybe a sixth grade kid, not a first grade kid, right. had a phone, right? But what happens is you are now accessible to the world 24 hours a day. A young person doesn't have the emotional ability to know who's allowed in and who's allowed out, to be that gatekeeper, right? Their parents still need to be the gatekeeper. But when this is attached to you 24 hours a day and wacko, make-believe people reaching out to kids, but what we talked about at that domestic violence was the accessibility of, I know that I can have you 24 hours a day. What does that make somebody do? Especially someone that is not mentally healthy and likes having power over another individual. I can get you all the time.
Right.
Right. And you know, this becomes your partner who you sleep with. Mm-hmm. This thing.
Yep.
This becomes that first rollover, give you a morning kiss. Mwah, good morning. Yep. This thing.
Yep.
Right?
You're always connected to the world, whether it be your friends, your enemies, your boss, people you didn't know. In my day, the danger was chat rooms.
Right.
Right. Now the world is your chat room.
Right.
And so how dangerous that is, because kids are given these tools younger and younger. Our brains haven't caught up, or our physiology hasn't caught up with technology.
Not even close. Not even close, because technology is evolving so faster than the human. And this is where the misstep happens.
Right.
You know, if a 15-year-old today, oh my God, is probably like what a 30-year-old was in my day. You know, a 7-year-old is probably what a 15-year-old was in knowing the ways of the world. And this allows good, but also all those bad parts of the world yeah. into that child's life. And what we talked about at the Liz Claiborne and the domestic violence was that acceptability and that accessibility. And I want you here now. I need to know where you are. This is a tracking device,
right?
I need to know where you are constantly. None of that is healthy. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the emotional quotient to understand what boundaries are, what healthy is, what healthy isn't. You don't need to dance for the world.
Right.
They don't get you. But these things aren't talked about. Mm-hmm. Because let's just get the new one. What came out last week? A 14?
Probably more than that.
I need to get the 14. I mean, I don't even know what I have. But it's like, I've got to get that.
Right.
Why? I mean, right. Seriously, why?
Right, why?
Because it's better quality pictures. Are you Ansel Adams? I mean, seriously. What? None of it makes sense.
And for the 99% of our listeners who don't know who
a that famous is. Photographer.
Okay.
Black and white.
So this brings me to the stat of now 1 in 3 kids
right.
before adulthood will experience
physical or emotional abuse.
Before you're an adult.
And then do you have the emotional capacity to say, what just happened? Mm-hmm. Do I need to share this with someone? Or are they on me? You better not say anything.
Yeah.
And 1 in 3.
Yeah.
You spend your life trying to protect your kids. Mm-hmm. And this can change it.
Yep. And your kids can almost, and adults too, we're not immune from it, can live 2 different lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Who you portray yourself to be behind a screen versus who you really are.
Right. Right.
I feel like it is no coincidence that all of these horrific statistics are converging at the same time in human history because,
no coincidence.
Like I said, we're still in drawing on walls, caveman era physiologically.
Right.
We haven't changed. The human genome hasn't changed.
Right.
But the world around us has.
It's just been mapped out.
It's just been mapped out. But we aren't equipped to do all the things that we do all day. And we've gotten so far away from kind of the basics that the blue zones have really perfected.
Right, right. And then look at the physiological changes where I said that dopamine spike just because I got a text alert. So dopamine, serotonin, seesaw, always trying to stay in balance. What's that going to do to your pleasure seeking? What's that going to do to your mood state regulation? Mm-hmm. Right. And then the rest of them, the anxiety piece of this is if this is with you constantly, it's probably going to be your boss as much as it's going to be your buddies. So what does that do to your anxiety levels? Right. So taking that time to unplug is necessary, just as necessary for survival of the good things that this does for you. It's just as necessary.
Yeah, I think it's all about those incremental steps to find ways that you can really better manage your life.
Right.
We all have the same hours in a day, days in a week. It's how we manage it.
Absolutely.
Even if we're really beating to death the phone. But you can see how much time is spent on your phone. Is it being social? Is it being productive? What app is it on? And based on that, say, man, I'm spending a lot of time on Facebook and I'm not a Facebook manager.
Right.
I don't manage social media. Why am I doing that? And cut back.
Right.
You know, so those 3 hours, for real, put it together of your day that you spent doing nothing, probably stressing yourself out of FOMO, out of comparison.
Right.
All these things stop.
Right.
And so if maybe you're doing 3 hours, let's cut it back to 2. Let's cut it back to 1.
Right.
Make it realistic, incremental changes. And then start to do that with other parts of your life.
Right. Nomophobia. I mean, don't we have digital specialists at Wired Biohealth?
We do, yeah. So WBH Counseling and Therapy, we actually have one therapist coming to mind. She specializes in this. So if you're really wanting to get a hold of, I don't want to go so far as to say an addiction, but certainly something that's problematic in your life,
right.
Reach out. It's the same number, so it's 1-888-841-7099, and you can actually do a free discovery call with our therapists, kind of talk about what we do, how we do it. They have access to the Wired Biohealth testing, and they understand biology's role in mental health. So when they create treatment plans, it's unique to everything about you as a person.
The physiology.
Yeah.
As well as your mental well-being and health.
That's it. So we talked a lot about the negative stuff today, but there are solutions. There's resources.
Absolutely. There's resources. There's solutions. There's action steps. There's things that can be taken of just, you know, humor me and say, can I get off of this thing for 10 minutes in the peak of my need of my phone? You know, when I'm driving, that's my peak. Can I get off of it for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
See if you can do it and see if it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's like any other misuse before there's an addiction.
Right.
It's a sliding scale. We're not healthy here and addicted here. It's a sliding scale of, can I do this? How difficult is it? Do I feel anxiety as a result of that? Has my physiology already changed? Answer is probably yes to all of it.
Yeah. And we're here to help. So, yep. Doc, it has been a pleasure. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Like I said, call the office, give the website a look. We're here to help, and see you next episode.
Good
Doc.
Stuff. Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks, Doc. Bye.